In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Gospel today, we find Jesus again. It's the very first part of the Gospel of Mark. Coming from Nazareth, which is west of the Jordan, west of the Sea of Galilee, coming east, and meeting John coming out of the wilderness, it says, at the Jordan River. And there it is that Jesus goes down under the water, and he is baptized by John, and comes up, and the heavens open, and the dove comes down, and this voice speaks about who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that the Father is well pleased with him. And Jesus then begins his public life. But how does he begin his public life? The Gospel says that the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness and into the desert, perhaps, which is east yet. And so when we find ourselves these days, after Ash Wednesday, these 40 days, like Jesus, in the wilderness of Lent, it begs the question, what might it mean for us as we prepare to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus during Holy Week? I used to, when I was at Lord of the Streets, Lord of the Streets, if you don't know, is a congregation of homeless people, and I was the pastor there for 7 years, and we would meet on Sunday mornings. There were usually about 250 homeless people that would come to Trinity Church. They let us use their building because their church was big enough to seat everybody. But during the week, we had our own building, our own church across the street. We had a little chapel that seated about 40, and we would have church in there. Almost daily, we'd have something in the chapel. So our job was, as I saw it, as a pastor there, to we provided all kinds of services, but most essentially our job was to be attentive to the spiritual journeys of the homeless people, who many of whom had a very deep spiritual life and were very connected to Jesus, as you might imagine. Individuals who live day to day sort of trust that the Lord is going to take care of them after a point, in perhaps ways that I don't have to, because I kind of take care of myself, as it were. And so their spiritual life is often very, very deep and profound. And there was a place where we tended to that. The other thing that we did there was have these things that we called affiliate churches or sponsoring churches. And they were mostly in the suburbs. And so we had, of course, Trinity across the street. But we had churches like around here, we had St. Francis and St. Martin's and St. Christopher's and a few of them. They are all in the suburbs. But every Lent, I would have a reflection, day of reflection for the volunteers from the sponsoring churches. And so individuals from suburbia would come down, and they had volunteered there regularly, but typically would come and do their thing and leave. So we invited them down for their own, to kind of tend to their spiritual journey. And one of the things that I would do would be to provide them with the typical lunch that we provide the homeless folks with, a bologna sandwich. If it was a big day, you got a slice of cheese on it. If it was a bigger day, you might have gotten a little snack with it. And a really big day, you'd get some fresh fruit and water. And I'd send them, we'd usually have about 30 people, and I would send them out for a contemplative experience for about 2 hours with their lunch bag, 2x2, encouraging them to listen to sounds, to listen to the sounds of the city, perhaps sounds that you don't hear in your own backyard, to smell the smells of the city. Hopefully not smells that you smell in your own backyard, the poop on the sidewalks and whatever else you might run into. To see the sights of the city, people perhaps asleep on the ground, whatever God puts in your way. to sensually somehow be present to that presence of God that is in everything, in all creation. Remember the first reading today from Genesis was the story of Noah, and Noah's getting out of the ark. And God was very clear. He said, your job now is to be attentive to the animals. And then he named the clouds in the sky and all the things that God created. And then he called special attention to what? The rainbow that he put in the sky that was a sign of God's covenant to God's people. And it's very easy for us today in our lives, driven by all kinds of things that can be incredibly distracting, to simply walk through life inattentive to the many ways that God comes into our space. And that God coming, that God life, that God presence coming into our space never stops. It never stops. The only thing that stops is our attention to it. And that's what we call being contemplative. When I say contemplative, most of us conjure up these pictures of the little old nuns, you know, dressed in purple, all hunched over and, you know, giving their life to praying at the altar, you know, before the Blessed Sacrament. And that's okay. People, that's what they have given their life to. But the process of being contemplative isn't just about them. And it's not clearly only their job. God assigned Noah, and God continues to, and God assigned Jesus, his own son, coming right up out of the water when you would expect he was full of energy and wanting to go, you know, let it happen out there. And people were probably fighting to see this guy that came up out of the water, and a dove came and the skies opened up and a loud voice announced who he was. But where did he go? Where did he start his life of service, his life of ministry, his life of building up the kingdom? In the desert, being present to the beasts, to the presence of God. St. Bonaventure once wrote in one of his writings, he said, a stone can't talk. But a stone will speak if you are present to it. And so it's during these 40 days and this time of Lent, we can't stop our lives. We can't, you know, just stay home or go into a desert somewhere for 40 days. Maybe you can, but most of us can't. But what we can do is live our lives, every moment of our lives, with a more contemplative spirit. And not just running through the experiences that we have with other people. Not just walking by the stuff of our lives that we really don't like and we really don't want to spend any time with. Maybe it's our own, you know, bones that, you know, can slow us down in ways sometimes that we don't like, or our other suffering and disease. Maybe it's joyful and happy. But the job of Lent is a job of preparation. And the job of preparation is that is building that life of contemplation, that life of being present to the presence of God. And yes, it does mean, for me certainly, and for most of us, I would bet, it means deliberately stopping to, as it were, smell the roses, or the poop in the sidewalk, or whatever it might be for us in any given moment. The joys and the sufferings, the ups and the downs of life are life. And that is where God speaks to us. For Noah, God reminded him, tend to the beasts, be present to them, all these animals. The rainbow, don't just walk through it, let it remind you of my covenant to you. Jesus, I am so proud of you, but go into the desert for 40 days with the beasts and be present to life itself. And that's the job of Lent. That's the job of Lent. Our presence to the presence of God. And that's why in some ways, even here in church, we sort of strip down the altar. We try to get the distractions away and simplify most everything liturgically. And that's just sort of to symbolize where we find ourselves. When Easter comes, it's going to look a lot different. When the vigil comes Holy Saturday, we're going to have baptisms and a fire and bless water and we're going to celebrate together. But for now, we find ourselves in the desert. And it is a blessed place. It is a place where God can speak to us through the sights and the smells of life itself. So I would encourage you, even as I encourage myself, to take time to be with the presence of God. A presence that never goes away. A God that is always attempting to speak to us. If only we listen. If only we see. If only we smell. If only we touch. If only we taste. And let's begin as we gather this morning at our table. When we take that bread and cup, be present to this very real presence of God as food for that journey, as a call to each and every one of us to experience God in a deeper, richer, and more profound way, so that when Easter comes, we clearly are more prepared to celebrate Jesus' life, death, and resurrection among us. Amen.